It's Current State on WKAR. Thank you for joining us. The recycling movement in the U.S. has come a long way since the first Earth Day more than 45 years ago. What began as trendy activism is now cultural consciousness and a thriving industry. So many materials are recycled today: paper, plastic, chemicals, computers. Why not the very buildings in which we live and work? Well, that's the theory behind a study now underway here at Michigan State University. Current State's Kevin Lavery joins me now with more. Kevin, how do you recycle a building anyway?
Mark, it's not unlike that old joke, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. In this case, one piece at a time. Urban blight is a big problem across the country, particularly here in the Midwest, as we will soon hear. The Center for Community and Economic Development at MSU has been studying ways to repurpose abandoned structures. The center's director, Rex Lamour, says MSU wants to launch a project in Muskegon in hopes of generating what's called a deconstruction economy.
So our Muskegon project is really focusing on that aspect of the work. Can we gather material from the major cities along the Great Lakes that have substantial abandonment, put that material on a shipping container, have it picked up, brought over to the port of Muskegon, and there use it, sort it out, and then try to extract some valuable use out of those materials from those abandoned structures that are being removed from these abandoned, blighted communities?
The Great Lakes region is a particularly good place to do a project like this because we do have kind of a long history of abandoned private properties, more so in this part of the country than in other places. Why is that?
That's true. The legacy of the Midwest, the old manufacturing Midwest, is that we have substantial abandonment. And we have also a relatively weak market, with some exceptions. Some parts of our state have strong housing, residential, and commercial markets, but many parts have weak markets. And it's as a result of that, private landowners really are trapped in abandoning their properties, and then local communities have the responsibility to remove those blighted structures. Other parts of the United States, the East Coast, the West Coast, for example, the real estate markets there are much stronger. Property doesn't sit vacant for very long, and it's usually put into reuse rather quickly. So it's really a phenomenon of our industrial decline and a migration of population out of the Midwest.
We're talking with Rex Lamour, the director of the Center for Community and Economic Development at Michigan State University. What makes Muskegon an ideal place to launch something like this?
Well, the uniqueness of the port of Muskegon is really the attractor there, plus our partnership with the West Michigan Regional Development Commission, who is also collaborating with us on this feasibility study. They have a deep water port that allows for large shipping to come in. It's being underutilized, so one of the aspects that Muskegon is particularly interested in is, would this deconstruction sector provide for additional shipping in the port and allow them to, you know, make maximum use of that resource? Because it is on the lake, we do have the transportation opportunity to gather this debris from large cities on the Great Lakes, Cleveland, Toledo, Detroit, Milwaukee, Chicago, and put it in containers, bring it over on ships, a cheaper way to transport material than train or truck, and then sort it out in Muskegon. They have an underutilized infrastructure, relatively underutilized labor force that might be able to be employed in the reutilization, repurposing of this material. And so that's really part of the feasibility study, is to estimate the cost factors that are associated with this transportation, collection and transportation and sorting of the materials, and also the labor that might be used in repurposing and reusing this material and bringing it back into the economy.
I can see a moral feel-good incentive, but what's the financial incentive, the motivation for someone in Cleveland who is demoing a building? They could very easily ship it by truck a few miles away outside Cleveland to a landfill, but instead they're moving it hundreds of miles over three different lakes to take it to Muskegon, Michigan. What's the financial enticement there?
Well, one area is the expense of landfilling this material. I mean, if we're able to divert their trucks from the landfill just to a shipping container, They save the tipping fee that's associated with taking it to the landfill. Now, the kind of material we're talking about is what we would call the third skim. The first skim is the valuable material, like the copper wiring, that is generally gone the night after an abandoned property is abandoned. The night scrappers are in, and they pull out that extremely valuable material. The second skim includes fixtures, the sinks, the tubs, the light fixtures, and potentially architecturally valuable woods and other cabinets or stairways or flooring that might have value. That's the second skim that comes out. What the third skim, the material that is left, what we call the high volume, low value material, tends to be the wood siding, the wood walls, asphalt shingles, linoleum floors. That high volume, low value stuff really just ends up in the landfill. And this would provide them an option to, rather than pay the tipping fee of a landfill, just ship it to Muskegon.
How are developers understanding the life cycle of a building? When they sit down to plan a building, do they think it through to the end? Do they think it through to, okay, in 75 years, this thing may no longer be useful. What do we do with it then?
Well, currently not. Currently, buildings are built for current use without any consideration of what will happen at the end of the life cycle of that building. And that's really some of what we're hoping to change in this work, in the broader concept of what we're calling dome ecology, the study of abandoned human structures, residential, commercial, industrial, and other structures, so that we begin to think about the life cycle of structures, so that as we plan it, design it, build it, use it, reuse it, and deconstruct it, we maximize the resource reutilization of that structure. So we're really, this process of what we're doing in Muskegon is one part of a larger paradigm where we're really thinking about structures having life cycles.
Has dome ecology been applied in any other way in any place in the United States? I understand in Europe they have done something similar, but not quite the same model you're using here in Michigan.
Not in the U.S. We've seen some examples of it in Europe because of the land limitations of Europe, because of the value of the land, and because the European Union actually encourages and requires certain percentages of building material to be recycled. They've created a market for the recycling of building materials. And so there's an incentive to reuse and repurpose this material to meet those requirements. In the United States, we've not seen that advance. There's been some examples where we require builders to have a responsibility for the deconstruction of a piece of structure, cell towers, for example, oil rigs, for example, electric generating windmills, the large windmills. Communities can require those developers to post a bond so that they share in the cost of taking those structures down because they clearly present a health and safety hazard in the local community. You don't want a cell tower falling over and causing damage to other structures or people. And so in those cases, communities have exercised their option of requiring a bond, but it's not been widely applied. And that's part of what we're anticipating might occur as this concept of a building life cycle is more widely understood, that communities will begin to expect when you build something, you have an obligation to take it down at the end of its useful life.
But to take a slightly different tack than bonding, insurance could be part of the equation as well in terms of insuring a building during the lifespan, its usefulness, in order to pay for demo when it's done.
And that's one of the things that we've looked at. Bonding has some strengths, but it has some limitations in that buildings go through multiple uses. And so accounting for those different uses, first, let's take a commercial structure, for example. It might start out as a dentist's office and then be reused as a dry cleaner, for example, where different chemicals may be at use, could leave some toxic materials on the site. With an insurance policy where you're paying a monthly premium for the deconstruction of the property at the end of its useful life, an insurance company, a third-party private sector company, can adjust the premium to ensure that the amount of resources that are available at the end of the life of the building are sufficient to cover the deconstruction's cost. So if they see a private sector entity not demonstrating what we might call environmentally safe handling of material, they're going to change the premium because the cost of deconstruction is going to be increased because of that potential environmental hazard. So you have a private sector entity monitoring the use of a private sector. They're going to be much more efficient at it. They're going to be market competitive because competition will certainly be watching this. And so we're likely to see a whole industry grow up around this potential element of dome ecology where we expect buildings to be deconstructed.
But where are the pitfalls? Where could this go wrong?
Good question. One of the concerns that we have, and this is obviously we're early in the work and just now beginning to understand the options and challenges related to this concept of a life cycle and structure. If you think about it, what is an easy building to take down? Well, one of the examples is a pole barn. And certainly we don't want all of our structures to be pole barns. Pole barns are relatively easy to take down. You can extract most of the material from them. And I'm pretty sure we don't want our communities to look like a collection of pole barns. So the design function is going to be a challenge for us. And then, of course, we've got other issues related to mixed-use structures. So many commercial structures have second and third floor residential, first floor commercial. So what? How do you manage that if the second and third floors are abandoned, but the first floor commercial use is still active, or vice versa, the first floor is abandoned, the second and third floors are still active? Occupied, how would the insurance company monitor and collect a premium that would pay for that? So there are many nuances yet to be determined. There are issues related to the handling of hazardous materials. Many of the materials that are associated with many of the abandoned structures include lead paint and other dangerous materials, asbestos. So how do we ensure that the workers that are involved in deconstruction, their health is protected, and those who are involved in the repurposing of this material, their health is protected as well? And so there are a number of challenges that researchers and practitioners are going to face in implementing a new paradigm of the life cycle of structures.
So Muskegon is your test site. Is there anything happening in that town now, or is all this still on paper?
Right now, we're in the beginning stages. We have a strong advisory committee that's giving consideration to this work. We're beginning to gather the information. We'll be sharing some of our initial findings with them here over the next month or so. They're going to help us interpret what those findings might mean for them. So right at this point, it's still fairly conceptual, but we're starting to put the numbers on the paper.
And you are going to call me when this starts happening, right? Because I could use a road trip to West Michigan.
When we have the findings, we'll share them with you.
Sounds good, Rex. Rex Lamore is the director of the Center for Community and Economic Development at Michigan State University. We've been talking about the center's initiative called Dome Ecology, from the Greek domicile. Thanks, Rex.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate it.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.